And Alderman Brendan Riley is joining us now after a long day, I'm told, of so far for you, of committee meetings you've been in and out of. We were trying to reach you, and we heard you had a budget meeting and lots of other stuff going on. How you doing, Alderman?
Staying real busy.
Yeah.
Well, though.
Anything we should know about what happened this morning? And then we have other stuff we want to get into. Anything new?
Nothing too earth-shattering. We approved a series of mayoral appointments to the library board and to some other boards, but nothing too momentous today.
Okay. Can we talk about crime? I mean, it's front and center. I just saw the latest headline I saw was that there is a second man charged now in that River North beating, that horrible video of that innocent man getting beaten. The video went viral and all that was. A second suspect, I guess, arrested in that. A lot of issues there, but one of the issues there, I know for residents who live around there and who probably talked with you, is that it took 6 minutes for police to get there. And I just wonder what you make of all this.
Yeah, well, that was frustrating. And that incident and a couple that followed prompted me to have some difficult conversations with the police department and with the mayor. But the outcome of that, for the last week or so, River North residents and business owners have been pretty excited to see a significantly increased police foot patrol and bicycle police presence on a more regular basis at night and later at night. And I think the input I'm receiving from people in the neighborhood is that this approach is already making a difference. And I can tell you that everybody in the neighborhood appreciates the new prioritization of these resources and the new attention being given to this by our brand new police commander Hine in the 18th district. So the police right now are getting a lot of attaboys from people who live in the neighborhood and who work in the neighborhood, and it's my hope that this will be a sustained effort, that this isn't just going to be something that happens for a weekend or two and then we're back to the same old baloney. It's my hope that Commander Hine and his command staff and the officers who are working these beats keep at it and make criminals uncomfortable and send a strong message. This is not a place for that activity, and it's not going to be tolerated. And if you try it, we're going to catch you. And so, I'm very pleased with the outcome. I'm sad that it took terrible, horrific events like the ones we saw play out for this to be made a priority. I've been sending memos to the department since 2007, pointing out many of these crime hotspots that we read about today. And it's been so frustrating that the resources just have never been properly dedicated there for a sustained effort to really stamp it out. And so I'm optimistic. I like what I see so far. I've been impressed with this new commander. His officers seem to be working hard for him, and that's appreciated. But we got to keep at it. Just early this morning, there was a rash of robberies and a shooting in a different part of River North that started around 2 a.m. And it was one crew that engaged in all four of these crimes in a matter of less than 20 minutes. Obviously, police responded very quickly, but these guys were off to the next one. That said, I am very confident they're going to catch these guys. And that was not four separate random incidents. That was a crew that came down here for that express purpose. So I think the department is going to catch these guys, and we're going to hopefully bring them to justice.
Yeah, you hope so. In situations like that, it just adds more fuel to the fire, the perception that people don't want to be in those areas. And yet, I was driving by last night, and there was so much vibrancy in the area. That the Clark Street area that's all shut off is so much fun. We were just talking to Sundays on State folks, and that they say so many people have come out for that broke records, anything they could have imagined. So the vibrancy is returning. There is a lot going on in the city, and yet this is always the but for some people who say, I'm not going down there. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I know. And believe me, no one's more frustrated about this than I am. But I can tell you, you know, I was out there last night, and you're right about the vibrancy. And it's great to see people coming back to the city and to see more tourists coming through as well. But the other thing that you would have seen was a really substantial police presence. Walking foot patrol officers, bicycle officers, and on a pretty steady rotation. And that helps. That calms down the neighborhood. And it frankly sends a signal to the folks that want to come downtown and have these illegal curbside parties and smoke dope in front of nightclubs and you know, look out for rival gangbangers. Well, that's not going to be very comfortable for you anymore. And so, again, this is only going to work if they keep at it. And my hope is they do, and I'm going to continue to advocate for that, because the fewer folks you have downtown at night looking to make trouble, the less likely you're going to have criminal acts that occur at 2 and 3 in the morning. So my hope is this is a good deterrent. And, you know, I can tell you just this past weekend with the prioritized resources on Hubbard and on State Street, where this stuff has been going on, the cops made 10 arrests. They recovered 5 illegal handguns, and they towed over 70 cars. So they worked, and these cops are hustling. And I think if they keep it up, we're going to see some good results here. But they really do. They have to stick to it. And I can tell you, I really appreciate the fact that they're making an honest effort on this.
Alderman Riley, I got to ask you, are there enough police? Because I hear aldermen say that they hear from their residents that they want more in their ward. And why are they over there? And why are they over there? And we have too long that we wait for people to get calls after they, or get some sort of police presence after they call 911 and things like that. Where are we with that? We hear about police retirements and that we're not really replacing them at that level. Are there enough police?
Not in my opinion, no. And we're heading into budget season. The mayor's going to make her budget address on September 17th, I believe, and I'm eager to hear it. There'll be a lot of discussion about how the department's funded and at what level and what are we going to prioritize. And obviously, I'll be advocating for the addition of many hundreds more police officers. Over the past 2 years, we've lost about 1,100 officers or so to attrition through retirement or moving on to a different career. And at the same time, the department has created a 900 or so officer tactical unit, which pulled more police out of the beats in the local district. And so those two things combined, it's a substantial force reduction in the local beats that neighbors, you know, where we live and where we work. So the tactical units do great work and they're appreciated, but they're not on the ground knowing the turf, knowing the context of the neighborhood, understanding what the priorities are for, local enforcement, that kind of stuff. And that's we're feeling that right now. And we're not filling vacancies nearly as fast as we should. COVID didn't help. But we have a morale issue in the department that needs to be addressed. Sure. These officers need to know that they're appreciated, and that the vast majority of people in Chicago, thank God, they have good police officers who patrol their neighborhoods. So we need to do better with police morale. But no, we're short-staffed, and especially overnight. Those are the toughest shifts to fill because people have families. And unfortunately, it shows. But I can tell you, in speaking with the mayor, that is being prioritized now. Frankly, absent hiring hundreds more officers, I'm not sure that there's a midterm fix here. Right. So I think we need to put our recruitment efforts on steroids, and we need to really properly fund it, because, you know, we used to get 38,000 applicants or so a year, and we're now getting 2,000 or 3,000. And so we need to look at, you know, how does a job pay? What are the responsibilities? These sorts of things to make it an attractive option for folks again. It's, you know, these police departments have gone through a lot the last couple of years. And, bad apples and terrible officers have ruined it for the vast majority of these folks who do fantastic work every day. And so we need to remind people this is an honorable profession and it's much needed. And so that's going to be a big part of our budget discussion this fall, I suspect.
Hiring is one piece of it. You look at the numbers right now, the shootings and murders in the city have already surpassed last year, and last year wasn't a good year. And so we're sort of looking at crime strategy in general and thinking, this isn't working. And how, where do we go from here, Alderman?
Yeah, I've pointed that out previously, and it's with all due respect to the mayor and superintendent. I happen to be of the opinion that the large tactical units shouldn't be so large, and that we should be putting more officers back into their local districts, the ones that they know and that they patrolled for years, where they can be more effective. There's I've said this before, there's a disconnect, unfortunately, between tactical units and the local commander and captains on the ground. You know, one thing that the department needs to consider is, if they're going to continue to lean on tactical units, okay, so be it. But have those units report directly to the captain in the local police district, the folks who know the turf, who know the problems and the context, and who can direct those resources more efficiently than a captain in a tactical unit who doesn't work downtown. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff is important. And look, I'm excited about my new commander downtown. I think he's already doing a great job. These are the types of things I'm trying to advocate to the top of the food chain at the police department, and hope that maybe they'll give these approaches a try too. But we have to stretch resources right now, because to your point, we don't have as many officers as we did 2 years ago, and not by a long shot. So it has to be a top priority. You know, as we work to reform the department and improve training, we need to be adding to the ranks, because the overnight thing is real. The lack of resources is a real problem, and it does have 50 aldermen playing tug of war over very limited resources. And every neighborhood deserves to be safe. So mm-hmm. It's a frustrating situation for just about anybody in government. But COVID was a gut punch on this one.
No question.
And then the civil unrest and the discussion about policing in America. It's had an impact on our ability to fill these vacancies.
For sure. Hey, Alderman, can you stick around for a couple more minutes? Because I do want to ask you about the cannabis zoning rules changing. I think you were a proponent of this. I didn't think the mayor was, but maybe she's changing her mind on it a bit. Would you have just a minute or two here for us?
Sure. I'm happy to talk about the downtown pot paradise.
That's right. I remember you changed your social media background to explain that you were now going to be in the pot paradise. You were the alderman of the pot paradise. It looks like it might happen. Yes. Alderman Brendan Riley, more with him in just a moment. All right. More with Alderman Brendan Riley here. We want to just spend the remaining couple of minutes here, Alderman, talking about the pot paradise that you are. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not quite that, but I know back in the day that was sort of brought up because the mayor wasn't a big fan of having these cannabis businesses downtown. And I guess she's willing to relax those rules a bit. Is that how I read it?
Yes, she is. And you know, I want to thank the administration for working with the local aldermen on this one. I think that the mayor's thinking on this has evolved a bit. There's a huge revenue upside for the city of Chicago here. And right now, all the new licensees that have been approved by the state are social equity licenses. And certainly we want to make sure that social equity licenses thrive and are successful here in Chicago. And what better place for them to set up shop than the Central Business District, where they have access to commuters and tourists, many of which are consuming cannabis products for various reasons. What was a pretty substantial exclusion zone where you were not allowed to sell cannabis has been lifted. We'll be voting on that as a city council next Tuesday. But I suspect it's going to pass, and it did just pass committee. But it really narrows the exclusion zone very specifically, and opens up big swaths of downtown for the potential of a cannabis license dispensary. So I think it's a good move for the city economically. My constituents are tired of paying high property taxes, and every dollar that we can get out of cannabis revenue is, you know, one less dollar that you have to go to on a property tax bill. We've seen the industry downtown now for over a year, and we aren't seeing problems associated with it. There are not quality of life issues or complaints. These stores blend in. And so I think downtown folks are comfortable with it. And the city is reaping significant revenue. And I think once we get this next round of licensees opened, that's just going to multiply significantly. But I just feel strongly that Chicago should own the cannabis tourism space. We're in the middle of the country. We have incredible architecture and food, a river, a lake. I mean, we should really be capitalizing on a growing industry that has lost its stigma of being only for people who wear tie-dye T-shirts and listen to the Grateful Dead. So, you know, let's make some money here, folks.
Right. I hear you. Just a couple seconds here, Alderman Riley, but you did not want an exclusion zone at all, as I recall. And that's when the mayor said, I'm not turning Michigan Avenue into a pot paradise. And that's where it all began. But is Michigan Avenue going to be excluded still? Do they keep that pot free?
It is. Michigan Avenue will under this compromise, remain pot free. My preference would be that there is no exclusion zone whatsoever. But unfortunately, in our democratic process at City Hall, we often have to make compromises. And the mayor certainly made compromises on her end. Her preference would be for there to probably be even an even larger exclusion zone. We just see very differently on this issue. So I'm happy with what we accomplished here. I would have preferred there to be none at all. But, you know, this is a substantial improvement over what's been in place and what I think has been holding the city back from reaping windfall revenues. And so I think this is a good step in the right direction. And hopefully in a year or two, the mayor will entertain the idea of removing the zone altogether.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'd like to see that happen, but I'll take this in the meantime.
So it's a win, it sounds like. Alderman Riley, thanks for the time this afternoon. Busy day for you. Appreciate it.
Hey, great to be with you. Take care.